Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news late night is talking about Elon Musk trying to buy Twitter. Stephen Colbert said, oh my God, he could do so much with that money, address world hunger, fix climate change, or get a decent haircut. Trevor Noah, the thing is with Elon Musk, nobody knows what he's going to do. He's super smart, definitely, but he also admits that he loves dumb jokes. So we don't know how this could turn out. This could turn Twitter into the best version of itself, or he could just rename tweets farts and retweets refarts. Meanwhile, federal prosecutors recovered 18 electronic devices from Rudy Giuliani during their investigation into his lobbying Ukraine for dirt on Joe Biden ahead of the 2020 election. Colbert said, 18 devices? Man, that's a lot of porn. Kimmel, always a good sign when you have three phones. Colbert, Rudy generously offered to assist the folks in finding reasons to charge him when he helped investigators unlock several electronic devices by providing a list of possible passwords. It's a real bad sign when you have to carry around a piece of paper with a list of possible passwords. Kimmel said he gave them a list of possible passwords to two other devices and even let investigators look inside the coffin he sleeps in during daylight hours. On Saturday Night Live, they remembered Gilbert Gottfried, who was somehow in the cast of SNL. Yes, Gilbert was in that lost season, the Lorne Michaelis season after the original crew left. I think that's 1980, that season. Gilbert briefly in the cast. Che and Jost didn't touch on it themselves, but their segment concluded with a photo tribute to Gilbert before cutting to a commercial break. Jost and Che also joked about Elon Musk. Jay, Elon Musk offered to buy Twitter for over $40 billion so he can loosen its free speech rules. That's how badly white guys want to use the N-word. Jost said, honestly, I don't understand why Elon even wants to own Twitter. It used to be something that seemed important and even fun, and now you look at it and it's confusing and depressing. It's the Giuliani of apps. And come on, Elon built electric cars. He's going to Mars. Why is he even involving himself with Twitter? Plus, I've got to say, Twitter's not even profitable anymore. It just feels like a bad business decision. And I say that as someone who bought a Staten Island ferry with Pete Davidson. It's like if the Prince of England gave it all up to marry an actress from Suits. That's a little joke about Harry and Meghan, which gives me an opportunity to cross-plug Palace Intrigue. That is a daily podcast about the royal family. I'm the writer on that. Been known to make fun of Harry and Meghan. So if that joke floated your boat, check out Palace Intrigue wherever you get your shows. More from Che and Jost. A new poll shows that President Biden's approval rating has fallen to an all-time low of 33%. For perspective, that's less than half the approval of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Sonic 2 features the characters Tails and Knuckles, which are also the names of two gang members Joe Biden claims he fought in the 1960s. A video has also gone viral of Biden finishing a speech in North Carolina, then apparently turning to shake hands with an invisible person. Hey, her name is Kamala. Che continued, President Biden announced new federal regulations for ghost guns. I mean, look, I don't like the idea of people having ghost guns either, but if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Bowen Yang appeared as the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny explained that he might not be the most popular holiday mascot, but he said, I'm the freakiest, a man-sized bunny with no backstory, and that unlike Santa Claus, I don't use enslaved elves to make my Easter baskets. I get them on Etsy because I support women. Yang was followed by Kate McKinnon as Dr. Fauci. Fauci said, trust me, I'm not here to give you any more COVID guidance. I'm not stupid enough to think you're actually going to follow it. All I could say is COVID cases are a lot like Jesus. They've risen again. Chris Redd busted out his wonderful character, Mayor Eric Adams of New York City. I can't get enough of this impression. Mayor Adams talked about the subway shooter and said, we got him. We got the shooter. Sure, it took 30 hours and the suspect turned himself in, but we got him. Case closed. Subway's fixed. Ride without fear. Mikey Day appeared as Elon Musk and said, I'm offering 43 billion peeps. That didn't get too much laughter. And then Day said, that was a joke. Ha ha ha. Do you get it? That's why afterwards I say that was a joke. Chloe Fineman played Britney Spears. Britney said, don't worry, I'm finally free and I'm having a baby. I just pray my baby's born happy, healthy, and with the power of attorney. Bowen Yang tried to wrap up the sketch and he was interrupted by James Austin Johnson as President Trump. Trump claimed his omission was another example of how whites are being treated horribly in this country. He gave a rambling monologue about Captain Crunch, Seabiscuit, Little Caesars, and then tagged out with, I've told America COVID would be over by Easter. I just didn't say which one. The Nashville Comedy Festival kicks off today. Probably the headliner there is Bill Burr. He'll be at the Bridgestone Arena. That's the big hockey arena. He'll be there on Saturday. Bert Kreischer, Nikki Glaser, Taylor Tomlinson, some of the other people in town. Shows take place at the Bridgestone Arena, the historic Ryman Auditorium, the Opry House, the War Memorial Auditorium, and Zany's Comedy Club. Nate Bergazzi talked about the Nashville scene. He said, I think comedy is in as good a place as it's ever been. Life's got so serious, people need to zone out. Some comics are rustier than others, but everybody's getting back into it. I first left Nashville in 2003. I think it's good to be proud of where you're from, of course, but I was scared that when I moved back, people would have thought I'd quit. Now, though, Nashville's blowing up. People in Nashville and the state of Tennessee are definitely well aware that comedy's a thing, and I love that. He also likes the growth of the alt scene. He says it's an especially good sign to have a parallel circuit, a different system with so many other shows that doesn't involve having to do the road. That's very interesting. I see a lot more comics moving here than leaving. They feel like they don't have to live in New York now. That's a good thing. I hope it keeps growing. I think it will. Nashville scene talked about Josh Black. Josh joined the Nashville Fire Department in 2018 at age 28, following in the footsteps of his grandfather. Around that time, he started doing stand-up as well. The day job and side hustle did not mix well. I did a prank phone call to a certain lady at a hat store on 8th Avenue with a big Trump 2020 sign right next to a fire hall to inform her that Trump lost. That got me suspended for 8 days and eventually fired. I was ticked, resentful towards the department and the toxic good old boy Confederate culture system of fear there. It's not sexy or heroic. It's a bunch of guys who live in places like Tullahoma and Pulaski, literally where the KKK started, and other deep red Tennessee towns. After that experience, he was fed up. Felt like I had nothing to lose. He found himself leaning further into his role as a black comic, saying, "You don't have to be Malcolm X, but it feels irresponsible to not at least touch on race, to not try to move the needle forward." Florida has your comedy news today. Stephen Wright talked to Florida Weekly. Stephen Wright is 66. Stephen said, "Right from the beginning, I had made rules for myself. One of them is that I wouldn't talk about giant things in the news like the president or current events or some popular movie. I wanted to talk about littler things. I didn't want to be attached to time either. I wanted to be able to do a joke for years if I wanted, not like a Reagan joke. Electricity is never going out of style. I think I swear 4 times in 90 minutes, and I don't make fun of anybody. It's just how I was raised to be a polite person. I might say stuff to my friends. When you go in front of an audience, it's like you're at someone's Thanksgiving dinner. All of a sudden, what are you going to do? Pass me the bleeping cranberry sauce?" Jay Leno spoke to the Palm Beach Daily News. They asked him about the slap. Jay called Will Smith a good guy, but what he found most troubling about the incident wasn't the slap. It's what happened after. Jay said, "To me, the thing that's the most disturbing wasn't the slap, because he was kind of smirking after he slapped Chris Rock. It was the yelling of the obscenities. Then you go, whoa, what's going on here? This is real anger." Leno also had a problem with the announcement by the Academy that it planned to investigate the incident. "What are you investigating? It had to be the most recorded assault in history. I saw the back of his shoe. I saw Chris's ear. There were so many cameras on this incident. What are you investigating? I know sometimes things are just what they appear to be." You know, you can leave a rate or review on Apple Podcasts. $Nesha. Is that how I say it? Or are you Schnesha? I love you, though, because you wrote "Heart, I love the show" with a 5-star review. Thank you, $Nesha. Christina P. has a new special coming out. It's called Mom Jeans. It will be out on Mother's Day, May 8th. In Mom Jeans, she shares the trials and tribulations of motherhood, marriage, and everything in between. This was filmed at the Gramercy Theater in New York, which I find surprising, and I don't know why. I don't know where I want Christina to film a special. I just thought New York, Christina, okay. Mom Jeans, Netflix, May 8th. Joe List has a new special coming out as well. Like his previous one, self-distributed directly onto his YouTube channel. I don't have a date yet, but it's called This Year's Material. Joe List talks about how he looks like his material will be more intellectual than it is, thinking he wanted a kid during the pandemic, watching a dad throw his son in the pool, and not knowing there were 90 breast sizes. From NBC Miami, some folks went out to the Hollywood Central Performing Arts Center Thursday to see Russia-based comedian Nurlan Sabarov perform in person. Others went to protest. Dozens of people in South Florida's Ukrainian community showed up with flag signs and bullhorns. They sang songs, played music, and in Ukrainian chanted consistently in the direction of attendees making their way to the venue. Protester Maria Panova offered an English translation of the chant. The chant was, "If you bought a ticket, you killed a child." Some demonstrators covered themselves in red paint representing blood. Others chose to lie on the ground with plastic bags on their heads. Protester Karina Moiseva said, "He's going back to Russia after his tour in the U.S., and it's unacceptable that people are laughing while the little kids are dying every day." According to his website, Subaroff the comedian appears on a comedy show featured on popular Russian TV channel TNT, not to be confused with the one here in the States. Demonstrators say his American comedy tour will indirectly support Russia's war efforts. People coming out to see the show says Subaroff is originally from Kazakhstan and doesn't support the war in Ukraine. Show attendee Timur Sasembayev says he's also from Kazakhstan. Nobody supports the war. The situation is he's not a citizen of the Russian Federation. Liz Sheridan passed away at age 93. Liz, best known for playing Helen, the mother of Jerry Seinfeld's character on Seinfeld. Jerry tweeted, "Liz was always the sweetest, nicest TV mom a son could wish for. Every time she came on our show, it was the coziest feeling for me. So lucky to have known her." Let's take a look at the Comedy Festival lineups. If you're in Nashville at the Ryman tonight, Kid Rock's Comedy Jam. What? Featuring Kid Rock, Donnell Rawlings, Shane Gillis, Big J Okerson, Chance Willie, Eleanor Kerrigan, Chris Porter, and of course, Kid Rock. Nate Bargatze will tape his podcast at Zany's tonight. Meanwhile, down in Austin, a relatively quiet evening, although I would love to see the person performing. Tim Dillon, two shows at the Paramount Theater, 7 and 9:30. If you aren't on board with Tim Dillon's podcast, check it out. And as I always say when I mention it, once Tim Dillon steps on the landmine, because he's going to step on the landmine, I'm going to deny that I ever told you to listen to Tim Dillon's podcast. Tim Dillon, he's horrible. I can't believe he said that thing. But until then, he's very funny. The Austin Chronicle wrote about Avery Moore. Avery Moore is funny, like funniest person in Austin, finalist Austin Music Awards, hosting Best of Austin, winning funny. Avery Moore said, "Mood Sour is near and dear to my heart. It's like comedy Christmas. I love the people that produce it. I love the staff. They let me do all my weird shtick shows like The Joke of Painting, which is a show where I have the comics paint part of their set. We provide art supplies for the audience and they paint along, like silly stuff like that. You get to see your friends from all over the country come in. Last year, I did a show with Bobcat Goldthwait and Dana Gould. Dana effing Gould. I was like, oh, you wrote The Simpsons. They try to bring in new fresh faces every year. I think it's a great opportunity for comics that live here. Maybe haven't toured a bunch to be seen by some pretty important people, but also get to do a show with a hero of yours. And then they tell you you're funny if you did a good job. That means the world. Dan Soder last year came up to me and said, I want to talk about a joke that I wrote. And I was like, uh-huh. I always want to puke the whole time at Mood Tower, but yeah, I love it. Avery Moore talked about her approach to her accent. I'm looking for like the six people that are like, hey, this is for you. I'm going to sprinkle in and make funny for everybody, but I'm going to get your ass. I'm just a goofy person. I've been old my whole life, and this is all I've ever wanted to do. I've just been doing bits for my parents and their friends and the people around me forever. I used to do an impression of Groucho Marx when I was like seven. I mean, he's my favorite guy, but that's not what a seven-year-old does. I would just do it to get attention, and I think that's what I still do it for. But I'm not making fun of it. Legitimately what I like. Steely Dan is my favorite band. I do a bit about the Eagles. I'm genuinely serious. Like, F you if you don't like the Eagles. They ripped. What's wrong with you? Karen Carpenter's my hero. I'm not being facetious when I do that stuff, and I think people think it's a shtick. I'm like, man, it's not. Get in my car and listen to my phone. I'm not playing games, dude. Pop music used to be earnest. This is a common trope. This isn't something I wrote or came up with, but pop musicians didn't used to be hot. They just used to be talented and goofy-looking effers that are superstars. Now you gotta be Dua Lipa. Everybody lived to the extreme back then. Eric Clapton wrote a song called Cocaine. That's it. There's no innuendo, no beating around the bush. They're just like, we party and we screw. And that's your comedy news for today. If you would like these shows early and commercial free, become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. And you can follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you here tomorrow.